Hello, I'm Lenore Moudou. Welcome to Health Chat. On the program today, we will look at tuberculosis, a potentially serious infectious bacterial disease that mainly affects the lung. According to the World Health Organization, an estimated 2.5 million people fell ill with TB in the African region in 2021, and around 500,000 people died of the disease in the same year. South Africa's Minister of Health, Joe Pala, says tuberculosis remains a great public health threat in his country, claiming more than 1.5 million lives over the last few years. He says while the country continues to be among the nations struggling with the TB pandemic, the Rainbow Nation has made hopeful strides in recent years toward lowering the number of TB infections. Pala noted that South Africa will scale up the rapid uptake of new tools and innovations to combat the disease and strengthen the routine testing of TB contacts and at-risk populations. Now, TB continues to be a significant public health problem in the WHO African region, which accounts for 23% of new cases and 31% of TB-related deaths. WHO says the heavy burden of HIV in the region is reflected in the 20% of new TB cases that are reported among people living with HIV and AIDS. For more insight, I spoke with Dr. Jean Abena, Technical Officer for TB at the WHO Regional Office for Africa.
Dr. Jean Abena, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you also.
Tuberculosis remains a significant public health threat in Africa. Tell us more about the current state of TB and what are the main challenges hindering efforts to eliminate TB in the region?
Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to share the progress and the challenges on the implementation of the NTB strategy. Our goal is to go to the elimination of TB in the year 2013. And we have some milestones that were measured on 2020. And we have also some milestones that are set to be evaluated on 2025. So we had objective and targets related to catastrophic cause. We think that implementing TB control is not an opportunity to put more people onto poverty. So the objective of getting rid of catastrophic cause is 0%. Half of the patients affected by TB in the region are facing catastrophic cause. So they are worsening their poverty. And we know that is also a disease of poverty, and other drivers like HIV are also in place to revamp the TB epidemic. And for incidence reduction, we have reduced the incidence of TB. We have also decreased the mortality compared to the level of 2015. But we are far from the milestone of 2025. And in 2025, we must decrease the mortality by 75%. We are only at 38%. And the incidence, we need to decrease it also. We are standing now at 32% incidence reduction. So the results of the tuberculosis activity this year, we have some good news. The good news is that we have diagnosed 70% of existing cases. This is the first time we diagnose this proportion of patients. That means that there's a decrease in the number of missed cases. There's also a good news behind that good news. We have diagnosed 10% more of pediatric TB case. And we know that diagnosing TB in that particular population is difficult and is technically difficult. We have improved by 10% compared to the previous year. So we need to strengthen the effort to get close to 90%. That is the objective that is set by the organization in the package that is called Accelerator Package to get close to the milestone target. So we need to diagnose 90%. We are standing at 70%. And the driver of the TB epidemics in the region remains unchanged. The first one is undernutrition, and it's difficult to address undernutrition. The second one that is almost under control is HIV. Majority, 20% of our TB cases are related to HIV, and also the mortality is also related to that pandemic. So it's a dual epidemic that we are taking care of. So we have the benefit of the success of the fight against HIV, that is decreasing the amount of people that can be susceptible for TB. Despite this good result, Africa remains the land of the high mortality. We have 400 lives that were taken away because of tuberculosis, and 2.5 million people affected by TB. So that are the figure of TB control in the region. And one factor of the success, if I want to come back to your question, of the success of this 70% case in case finding is the result of a multi-pronged approach. So we have strengthened the network of good equipment in the laboratory. So 48% of the lab are now using state-of-the-art diagnosing tool that are the molecular tool commonly used as GeneXpert, just to name a few, TB lamp and other molecular platform that were also found instrumental to diagnose other disease conditions such as cervical cancer, hepatitis, and even COVID in the years of COVID. So the expansion of this tool has also led to that good diagnosis. Also, innovative strategy, for example, in Nigeria, by linking the private practitioner to the notification system, has led also to the improve of the case finding figure in the region. Because Nigeria is one of the big country in terms of burden of disease in the country. We have also to praise the result of South Africa, who has decreased the incidence by two of the tuberculosis, but even divided by two, the burden of tuberculosis remain high in this country, highly affected by HIV. We can also note progress in Mozambique and certain country, but those progress are uneven in not evenly across the region. There are some part of the region that are lagging, so West and Central Africa have a lower prevalence, but they are not doing so good in terms of progress, except the Nigeria, who has had some outstanding results.
Talk to us about the tools and innovation. You talked about South Africa. There is a phase three clinical trial that is ongoing right now for TB vaccine. So, are there any significant breakthroughs or innovations in TB diagnostics, treatment, or prevention that you'd like to highlight?
So I'd like to highlight that Africa region also have his share in the progress of having new tools in ending TB. So the South Africa you just named has also participated in a study that led to the improvement of the treatment of MDR-TB. So now we have a shortened regimen for MDR-TB that is called BPAL. So it's completely oral and it's 6 months and it's efficient and affordable for the country. But the issue is to how to scale up that new tool. For preventive therapy, we have also shortened regimen that are based on rifampicin. We have a regimen that can also have a length of 1 month. So they are also friendly. We have also friendly presentation for children for all those medicine. These are the advancement in terms of making effective and shorter regimen of of treatment, because the pill burden is significant. People, if they have a shorter treatment, they are more compliant. So we have made a lot of effort reducing the length of the treatment. Even for drug sensitive TB, we have now a treatment that is can last for 4 months, and is a breakthrough, because in the ancient time it was 6 months. Now we can have a treatment of 4 months, and then if those treatments are closely monitored in terms of absorption of those tablets, you can also decrease the level of the resistance. So that are the most evident improvement in terms of tools that are available. I've already talked about the diagnostic platform. So we have across the region supranational lab that are referenced to monitor the quality of the network of laboratories that are taking care of tuberculosis. And those platforms in the country are multi-disease. So this is also a tool that is really effective, and it's also subsidized. So across the region, so majority of TB diagnosing, TB tests are free of charge of the patient. So that for the patient, that also increase the access. So that's
What
part of
about
the innovation.
treatment? How accessible is treatment in
The
terms of cost?
treatment for a long time, or also the treatment is given free of charge for any form of tuberculosis, being it the latent tuberculosis, that the asymptomatic infection by TB is free. TB treatment for drug sensitive is free of charge across the region. It's not even available in the stores downtown. And even drug resistant tuberculosis, even with expensive medicine, they are also taken in charge by the NTP across the region. So the treatment is free, even the monitoring procedure for the patient that are already diagnosed. But all the other costs, the indirect costs, can also be a burden for the patient. Transportation costs that are falling outside the health sector. This is why we need social package to take care of people that are affected by tuberculosis.
And how has the WHO African region supported member states in their fight against TB? And what are the key priorities and strategies in the coming years to achieve the goal of ending TB by 2030?
Yeah, so the role of WHO is a role of leadership. Our role of leadership is effective. So we are leading the conversation around TB. We are setting the target. We are setting the agenda among other agencies. We prepare the region to participate to the high level meeting in New York at the General Assembly. This is one of our leadership, one example of our leadership role. So with the African Union, we are also putting TB in the agenda of the head of states. So that's part of the leadership. And also to share good practice and norms. So we are a normative body. So we have the norms and we adapt the norm to the region and we support country to have a norm. So by sharing the knowledge, making the knowledge available to country, and also at the benefit of the patient as soon as they are released, is also one of our role. So we are also supporting country in terms of planning. Planning is very important step in terms of paving the way for success in TB controls. We assist country in planning all the TB program review. So we go to country and assess how good is the response, what are the challenges, and we bring along partners. This is one important role, and people trust the WHO, and around this consensus, we show the priority and we go along with the country to implement their strategy. These are mainly our role in terms of technical support. And for the priority, so we are good now in diagnosing incident cases. My plea this TB day is to have a new emphasis in prevention. If diagnosing TB is difficult, maybe going around a case of TB that is already identified and screen the family and the people around is also an effective intervention that can lead to the decrease of the number of people that are affected with TB. And with the opportunity of having this new friendly medicine that can prevent TB, so it's an opportunity and is a low-hanging fruit. Our strategic direction for the next year is really to put a focus on prevention and also pediatric TB. Over.
Dr. Jean Abena, thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
That was Dr. Gina Bena, Technical Officer for TB at the WHO Regional Office for Africa, speaking to us on World TB Day from Brazzaville, Congo. Now to Eswatini, where 25% of rural communities lack clean drinking water, according to the charity WaterAid. And another 40% of these communities do not have access to water. Nokukanya Musi has the story from Mapungwane in the Lumbombo region.
Every day, Jabu Gamete makes a 2 kilometer trek to Kulubane River, the only water source near her home in Mapungwane in the Lubombo region of Eswatini. Although the water is contaminated and her route is dangerous, with risks of theft and sexual assault, she says she has no other choice.
As the seasons grow hotter and drier, the water we rely on is becoming scarcer. The well that has sustained us for so long is starting to run dry, and our future hangs in the balance.
According to the United Nations, the annual mean temperatures in Eswatini have increased by more than 3 degrees Celsius between 1961 and 2000. These shifts have led to the decreased stream flows in primary river basins and heightened instances of waterborne diseases.
We must wake up early to fetch water before going to school, negatively impacting our studies. By the time we arrive at school, we are already tired and often fall asleep in class.
Our children are sick and our water is unclean. We have no other choice but to drink it, even though we know it will make us ill.
International aid agencies such as WaterAid and World Vision International are working to address the water crisis in Eswatini by funding the construction of water filtering systems and new wells, as well as improvements to sanitation facilities. The Italian aid agency Corporation for the Development of Emerging Countries, or COSPE, is collaborating with the people of Mapungwane in the construction of a new water filtration system set to be unveiled soon.
They raise their own issues, identify the problems affecting them as a result of climate change, and they also come out with some proposed solutions on how they can adapt, how they can address those issues.
In 2023, the Eswatini government allocated funds to improve water supply schemes, which will benefit over 41,000 people. Nokukhanya Musi, VOA News, Mapungwane, Eswatini.
You are listening to Health Chat on Voice of America. It's time for a short break. We'll have more on Health Chat. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Health Chat. Zimbabwe has launched an emergency polio vaccination campaign to contain a new outbreak, even as it fights a cholera outbreak that has claimed close to 500 lives. Columbus Mavunga has this story from Harare.
Evan Zwaki, who delivered her fifth child at Chitungiza Hospital just outside Harare, says the newborn has already been vaccinated against the polio virus. Zimbabwe launched an emergency polio vaccination drive after health officials confirmed a case late last year. The United Nations says Zimbabwe is one of the 11 countries in Eastern and Southern Africa that has reported cases of polio, resulting in this mass vaccination campaign. Zimbabwe is partnering with UNICEF and the World Health Organization and others on the drive.
Currently in Zimbabwe, because Zimbabwe recorded over 15 cases of polio since last year, there is a campaign going on targeting 4.2 million children under the age of 10. And again, UNICEF is working with partners to be able to ensure that this vaccination goes on well. A procurement of over 10.5 million doses of vaccines, and we hope by the end of these two rounds, all the target population will be reached.
Sleiman Timioskwidini, Zimbabwe's Deputy Health and Childcare Minister, says laboratory tests confirmed the presence of the virus in samples collected from sewage sites in Harare. Another case was confirmed about a three-hour drive from Harare.
The detection of these viruses in the environment of or in humans constitutes a polio outbreak in the country. While the news is concerning, we as ministry would like to reassure the public that we have taken the swift action to investigate and contain the outbreak to prevent any further spread that may occur.
We didn't aid citizens to cooperate with authorities conducting polio vaccination so that the virus can be eradicated from Zimbabwe. Meanwhile, Zimbabwe is battling to contain another outbreak of cholera, with 470 deaths out of more than 25,000 suspected cases of the waterborne disease. Columbus Mavunga, VOA News, Chitungwiza, Zimbabwe.
WHO says over the past 3 decades, the African region has experienced the most substantial increase in major oral diseases among the WHO's 6 regions. Despite being largely preventable, oral diseases such as dental caries, gum diseases, and tooth loss pose a significant public health challenge, impacting 44% of the region's inhabitants. The region faces a chronic shortage of oral health professionals, with a ratio of only 0.22 dentists per 10,000 people. For more on the subject, I spoke with Dr. Yuka Makino, Technical Officer for Oral Health with WHO Regional Office for Africa.
Dr. Yuka Makino, thank you so much for joining us today. Reports say that half of the population in the WHO African region is affected by an oral health crisis. What is happening?
Thank you very much that raising this key important question. So as mentioned that 44% of the African regional population is estimated to suffer from oral disease in 2019. What these oral disease include, such as dental caries, tooth decay, periodontal disease, gum disease, and also tooth loss.
What can you tell us in terms of some of the reasons why we're seeing these issues?
Yeah, indeed, these oral disease caused by several risk factors such as, sugar. High sugar is actually cause dental caries. And also tobacco causes a periodontal disease and also oral cancer. And also alcohol also causes a oral cancer. And also lack of access to, fluoride maybe contribute to the dental caries as well. Therefore, controlling the risk factor is quite important. At the same time, these risk factors, mainly sugar, tobacco, and alcohol, also share with other general diseases such as cancer, diabetes, and also cardiovascular disease.
Can you expand a little more on the connection between oral health and our general health?
Yes, as I mentioned that, both oral disease and also general disease, especially non-communicable disease such as diabetes and then cardiovascular disease and cancer, share the common risk factor such as sugar, tobacco, and alcohol. Of course, people feel that oral disease and then the non-communicable disease are different, but address these common risk factors, we can prevent both diseases.
A lot of times people tend to neglect their oral health. Why?
Yeah, as mentioned that, half of the population actually suffered from oral disease. But as you mentioned that, compared with other diseases, such as non-communicable disease or malaria and the other infectious disease, always oral health is neglected, not prioritized. One of the reasons potentially would be maybe people think the oral disease is very important, but actually not cause death. But at the same time, some oral disease also cause death, such as if you can, just remain the untreated dental caries, that also potentially cause death. And also, especially in the Western Africa, we have a disease called NOMA, that is, disease of the mouth and face, and then especially the children between 2 to 6 years old suffering, especially malnutrition and lack of access to the vaccination, and also especially poverty situation, because if untreated, the potentially NOMA, around 90% of deaths of that untreated NOMA children. Therefore, we should not neglect oral disease. Only this kind of like a potential people misunderstanding about that not cause this.
One of the issues that is critical on the continent is the fact that there is not enough qualified personnel to address oral health issues. What can be done to improve oral health care in Africa?
Yes, as you mentioned that, definitely we do not have a adequate number of oral health workforce. According to the Global Oral Health Report, in our continent, for example, the 10,000 population, we only have 0.33 dentists. This is actually the 1/10 of the global ratio. But we still have, half of the population suffering from untreated oral disease. Therefore, we also need to access oral health service. Therefore, especially, we need to think about really innovative workforce model to address unmet needs for oral health. For example, especially in African region, people normally cannot access oral health service from oral health promotion, oral disease prevention and treatment at the primary care level. But maybe it is also important to train the non-oral health professional, such as doctor, nurse, and then the midwife, and also community health worker. This person is actually responsible for that primary care level. And if they can provide some of the oral health service, more people can access to oral health service. Therefore, definitely it is important to task sharing of oral health service among oral health professional and non-oral health professional in that region.
One of the things that we see a lot, and it's very common among people, is bleeding while brushing and also swollen gums. When should we be concerned about these signs and how can we prevent them?
This is linked with, gingivitis and periodontal disease because, the bleed means that some inflammation happened with your gum. Therefore, if you see, gum is not pink, color pink, and you feel that there is a dark color of red, or if you also can see some of the plaque or tactus in your teeth, definitely that potentially causes a periodontal disease. Therefore, you need to brush teeth properly.
So is brushing every day enough to maintain good oral hygiene, or are there some additional steps such as mouth washing, for example, or does it depend on pre-existing condition or current condition?
So in terms of that, promote oral hygiene, especially from the perspective of the preventive dental caries, it is quite important to utilize toothpaste with fluoride. Especially the concentration of fluoride should be 1,000 to 1,500, part per million, because, this fluoride can prevent dental caries.
What can country do to improve oral health for the citizens?
Because if we're considering about the government, we think we can do a lot. For example, leadership. For example, in our continent, actually, 50% of the country do not have an oral health policy. This policy actually provides guidance for how promote oral health and how prevent and also treat oral diseases. Therefore, definitely, because WHO have a global and regional guidance for, oral health, therefore, they need to adapt and implement this strategy considering the country context. And then another point is, of course, we also need to think about how we can promote oral health and then prevent oral disease. We tend to think about, oral disease is individual matter, but actually not only individual matter, because the government also take the more upper level or population level approach, such as in case if you can promote, fluoride toothpaste at the school setting, or you can also maybe limit the sugar consumption by, tax on the sugar sweetened beverage. Therefore, government also takes that kind of, physical policy or any other policy in order to develop the enabling environment to address risk factor for oral disease.
And anything else, Dr. Yuka Makino, you would like to add before we wrap?
At this moment, I don't have a specific comment, but because as we mentioned that, oral health is actually half of us have an issue. Therefore, we need to leverage today, World Oral Health Day, to raise awareness about our oral health, and also oral health is actually our human rights.
Dr. Yuka Makino, thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
That's all for this edition of Health Chat. Thank you all for joining us, and thanks to all our affiliate stations throughout Africa for carrying Health Chat. I'm your host, Linoch Mudu in Washington, with producer Mukbil Yabaro. Until next time, take care, stay safe.